Mr. Ben Marty, good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Great.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you.
It's a good day today. Sun's out. Good news all over the place. You just told us, before we get to the what happened last night at the work session, city got a kind of an unexpected grant. Is that right?
That's right. We got a through the legislative process, we got $500,000 for a phase two of the skateboard park here in Northfield, and it does not require any local match requirement as part of that funding that we got. And so we've been kind of tracking it there. We've had some local people working on it, and there about in 2023, there had been some efforts to create some funds to build some skateboard parks across the state of Minnesota, and the legislature awarded some money to go into a pool that the State Amateur Sports Commission was supposed to be responsible for distributing out. State Amateur Sports Commission handles regional sports. They're primarily their destination Blaine facility that they have, where they have the super rink and some soccer fields
things. Yeah.
And they've got some pretty exciting new ideas out there that they're working on. It's kind of their bread and butter. They do somewhat get involved in some side things, like they offer grants for the Mighty Ducks grants to help hockey arenas and things that the state funds. But the dollars never got out the door for whatever reason to cities. And so we had some advocates working to earmark that money to some specific cities that were working on it, or at least had plans in place to be able to do something, and we were one of those. And so fortunately, we got added to the list, including Winona, and I think Brainerd might have got some money, and I'm not sure if there was one other one, but
okay.
We got earmarked for that money, and that's the benefit. So
All right.
Really wasn't one. I was a bit skeptical when I first caught wind of it, and we were still certainly pursuing it, but I wasn't overly kind of marketing it. I guess the council was aware of it and things, but I was kind of like, well, we'll see how it goes. And lo and behold, we got it done.
Well, that's nice for that. Is there, are there any specific plans? Like, do we think about like a West Side skate park, or what, or is this just to enhance the one we have?
Great question.
Okay.
I understand there were some original expansion plans, but I think the idea is to take a look at those and go through a redesign, which the funding does include some redesign, and then also for construction. And so we'll be ramping up more information. This is going to a different agency that we'll work with to get the grant funds. And so we're working on that. And shout out to Tyler Westman, local business person, who was one of those people helping us to get this done behind the scenes. So he was working with the mayor to make aware of this issue. It came to my desk, and I said, let's try. So
that's great. Fantastic. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot here, but can I ask you, before we get to the work session last night, do you have any update on the situation with the municipal pool?
We did find another leak yesterday, unfortunately. Oh, so we had made some repairs. We did identify those. Basically, what's happening is we got some shifting that's happening under the ground with the PVC pipe.
Yeah.
And at the joints, they've kind of had some breaks. So they're analyzing that today. We expect to have some more communications go out on that. But it sounds like we unfortunately might have to be down for the weekend to be able to open up on Monday. But stay tuned on that one. We'll be in touch
But we could be open as soon as Monday, too.
That's right. Yep.
Okay, well, that's if we're only off by a week or so, that's not the worst
thing that's ever
happened.
No.
Yeah. All right. And we get it fixed.
Every day is really valuable in Minnesota.
Yes.
To try and hit the pool.
Yeah. So. What do I always say? Minnesotans don't enjoy summer. We attack it, right?
But that's right. Yeah.
Well, and this weekend's supposed to be looking pretty rainy anyway. Oh, yeah. So,
oh, okay. Well,
all right. So, if it's going to happen, let's deal with it now.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, with all that good news abounding, let's talk about yet another clean audit for the city of Northfield. Does Brendan Engelstad wear a cape to work sometimes? I mean,
Brendan, I would say Mary Grant is really important to our operations, and Mary's been around for a long time working with us, so she understands our finances in and out. So yeah, it's great, and we certainly could use some extra help, and we're going to be bringing on a new budget analyst as well to help us with more financial planning and see if we can help get some cost savings identified. So certainly that will help us out, I think, also related to our auditing and financial planning, because that was a theme. I think some of the questions that was posed to our auditor last night was he really emphasized a couple of strengths of Northfield. One is our general operations of the city that we had ended up to the favorable of revenue to expenses for the year. So we were about $790,000 favorable budget to actual variance that we had. So about $19 million in revenue, 18.7 in expenses for our general operations of the city. That doesn't include all of our utility funds and capital funds and those kinds of things. But so that was great news. Certainly always want to be in the black. And he did emphasize, too, that our report went through kind of the condition of all the reserves within our different funds. And in governmental funds, it kind of worked like individual checking accounts is kind of how, if you want to think of it on a basic standpoint, that's kind of how it works in the different operating areas. There's a couple areas. Overall, that's one of the things that we get good bond ratings on is we have a strong financial reserves for the city. So even though we were planning on spending some reserves, that was intended that we did, but we ended up not having to do that, which is great. That means it goes up. We carry a goal of 40 to 50% minimum fund balances in a lot of our funds. And there's two reasons for that. One is most of our dollars that we get come in twice a year, so we need to cash flow the operations. So we get property taxes and our local government aid from the state twice a year. So we don't want to borrow to have to pay operations, so we got cash to cover that. And then secondarily, it's kind of our rainy day fund. So in the case of, you know, monies that we rely on from the state or federal government, if they happen to fall through, we do have some cash reserves to help us in tough times, or if we do need to do some cuts but can't realize those savings on a short-term basis, you can tap into those cash reserves to help you out, kind of like your home budget or that kind of a thing. So there are two funds, though, I would say that we are monitoring. Not that the auditor called it out too much, but certainly as we talk budget coming up as well, the NCRC fund's an important, valuable asset for us. But the city, as we've taken back on the maintenance responsibilities of that building, we've been doing basic maintenance and repairs over the last couple of years. They've been spending down some of our cash reserves. Tenant rents have not really caught up with the costs of some of the maintenance. So we're working on new lease agreements with them. We knew that. We've actually had to levy some significant more dollars to replenish that fund, but that's one that we're continuing to work on financially. The second one I would say is our communications fund. Our cable franchise revenues have seen significant reductions. We have basically fees for the use of our right-of-ways for these cables to go through, so then it's kind of passed on to the consumer to pay those. But cities can't collect similar fees for internet cables that go through our right-of-ways. So people are obviously, and technology is shifting to other forms of communications. And so that revenue is drying up. We rely on that for our communications team funding, so that is concerning. We've been trying to lobby to modernize that tax opportunity to be able to do it for internet providers. Haven't been quite successful on that. But that will be another fund that we're probably working on because it's been pretty healthy in the past, but we've been drawing it down where we got about $300,000 at the end of last year left in that fund. But those aren't, you know, huge red flags, but those are areas we're working on. Overall, though, we're healthy, positive, independent audit report. We got back, no negative marks on the audit report. There certainly is a small organization. They always call out things like limited internal controls. So the larger the organization, the more you can like have multiple steps in a process for like managing the money so that you reduce the possibility for fraud and those kinds of things. But we are implementing best practices related to that. And, certainly feel we have strong financial controls in place. But if you read the statements and don't understand that, that's kind of organizations that are smaller are going to get some of that.
Okay. Can I ask you a little bit about the NCRC building? Because I know it's been a concern for a while, and the city's been trying to figure out how to go about it. Talking with Logan this morning, it does sound like the city might have to start looking at some higher rents, but you're going to talk with some of the tenants about that first, aren't you? Like, just figure out what the impact of that is. Is that right?
Yeah, we've been working probably for a couple of years with our tenants on that. So it's been a slow moving working relationship. Number one, when the city took on the responsibility back on the maintenance, we had to make sense of the kind of the numbers and the condition of all the facilities because that had been kind of delegated to the users of the building. So part of it was just making sense for a couple of years, all of those costs and having our building maintenance people go through and get kind of an assessment of the building and all of the systems. And now we've been working with them on kind of phasing that in. Another piece that we're trying to do, because we do need to do more repairs on our HVAC system, some floor improvements, and I would say just some basic facility improvements. And we're trying to get state bonding dollars. We're putting in a request to the state of Minnesota for this next session on a bonding bill. on the grand scheme of the state funding, I do think that this facility, with the types of users we have in there, the food shelf, the community action center, Three Rivers Community Actions in there, the early childhood is in there, 50 North. I think it's going to be received well as a regional significant project, providing important social service safety net assistance for folks. And it's a relatively small ask of about $2.5 million we're asking of them. Oh. So you can try. You know, we got $500,000 dollars.
Absolutely.
You know, we've gotten money on the transit hub that we're going to be doing opening up soon. That will help us, I think, too. Hopefully that can reduce the tenants' cost if we can get that done.
Wayne Gretzky and Kathleen Thompson say you miss 100% of the shots that you do not take. So you got to ask, right?
That's right.
There was another question I had about, the county's in their NCRC building too, correct?
That's right. They did a major renovation of a space that we have that was had that was very underutilized. And so, the county provides some social service.
Why don't you just jack up their rent three times?
Well, they did get a fairly good deal, but part of that was because they did the leasehold improvements for real major renovations of the space that they're in. So that was a longer-term agreement with them. But
okay. All right.
One other thing on the audit I wanted to cover, too, is the liquor store is a relatively small piece of the city's operation. Yeah. But there has been confusion, I guess, around the liquor store. So I do want to make sure that I emphasize that.
Confusion.
Again, the liquor store had a profitable year, again, like it always has. It had about $175,000 net profit, plus addition on top of that, $50,000 was transferred to the city's general fund to reduce taxes for everybody. And it also, that funding also helps us provide the Northfield Alliance for Substance Abuse Prevention. And what that board does is they advocate for and with youth, committed to creating a community where our youth can lead healthy lives free of alcohol and drug use. So some of those proceeds from the controlled substance of the liquor store are used to actually try and educate youth on the dangers of substance use and particularly abuse of substances. And so that I want to just call that out because there's been some confusion to think that our liquor store is not profitable. It absolutely is. But we also recognize we want to serve our customers well, and there's some accessibility challenges, and I don't think it completely is serving the market that we could with the product selection, some of that kind of thing. So we're going to continue to look at that in the future. And again, if this were to be privatized, taxes would go up. The taxes generated on a new liquor store would not capture the amount that we're generating and enjoying off of the profits of a city-owned one. And additionally, limiting access to like one provider of alcohol sales also has proven to reduce the access to youth and people under 21 who should not be using our products as well. So that's my pitch, I guess, and just want to hammer that home again because I think there was some confusion out there.
I'm glad you brought it up because I actually wanted to ask Logan about that, and I thought, I'll wait for Ben because I'll bet Ben has something to say about that. So all right. So then you also talked about the 5-year capital improvement plan, and Logan told us there are many projects in the hopper.
Normally, I hear the council making comments about how long our packet are, but I had some people from the public saying 500 pages of capital plan background information. Ooh, yeah, so we have detailed pages of our capital planning, and we do a 5-year capital equipment and capital improvement plan. I would say our 2-year plan of that 5-year plan is pretty solid as you get into the later years. Gets a little bit more fluid to be able to shift things around. It goes from everything from buildings to squad cars to wastewater plant improvements to, you know, water towers, to library repairs, to a city hall roof, everything that we have, you know, across our infrastructure.
I've been hearing about the city hall roof for like 5 years. Are you ever going to fix the roof on city hall?
Well, that's a good sign then. I'm glad that you paid attention to that one because
that's kind of
the part of the 5-year plan is that hopefully for councils and things in particular, if they're on there for a 4-year term, you see it coming down the road, and it's not a surprise when it hits. Because our auditor did say that's one of his biggest recommendations is the more financial planning and understanding of where you're going and the costs of that, both so you can financially plan and not have surprises and to help communicate to your public is a good thing. So we're continuing to try and get better at that. But a couple things I would say that we did get some immediate feedback from the city council on. One was – I think there was a lot of interest overall, not a surprise, to kind of following our audit that our tax rate is high in the community. And so if we can grow our tax base with new buildings, either through expanding our existing businesses or bringing in new ones, that will help our tax base reduce our tax burden for all of us. So the council's interested to say, is there infrastructure improvements we could do, particularly in the Northwest area now that we've rezoned, that might help attract businesses to our community? Yeah. So we are building a new water tower using some of the federal dollars that we're going to go to the water plant that's been put on a pause here. And we also talked about the possibility of sewer extension lines. We had been talking about some water lines getting run out there, but based on our prediction of the amount of water that would be needed for some of the users out there, we actually don't think we'll need to extend more water out to that area for now. But if and when it's needed, we do have a plan to go down Highway 19 and loop up back to the hospital, which would also be a benefit to the hospital for redundancy purposes. Yeah. But that's, again, where you want to be ready and in planning for it, but you also don't want to put a bunch of dollars in something that you might not need today when you don't really know what might happen in the future with that. So the council really was interested in exploring whatever we can do to tee that up. Another project that had been placed on the 2027 plan that we've been working on a long time was Bridge Square. Pretty much universally, I think we heard from the council, they want to push that project back. I would say to explore if there's other funding opportunities like federal or state grants potentially to help out, or if we can grow our tax base first. Maybe that's not the most critical need right now to take care of that, but is maybe on the plan ahead. So pretty clearly, I would say an interest to shift that one back a few years. We are going to have to pay off the planning costs for that. We've got about $500,000 in the construction documents that we've been doing. The all of the design approvals and historical approvals are done, so we'll probably just accept the plans with the council and push it back in the capital plan for that project.
Okay. You know, this is a little bit off topic, but since we're talking about tax base and revenue coming into the city, I assume that that you've been paying attention to what's in the budget, the new budget from the state legislature. And with all the cuts and everything, was there any change in local government aid?
Good question. So I believe the answer is no. I need I think they left it flat. There was in one of it was either the Senate or the House had no change in LGA, basically staying the same, and one had some like fairly modest reductions, but every amount counts. But unfortunately, we're continuing to see some significant inflationary costs on the city like other people are. So we're not going to be getting more money from the state. But the good news is we might not be getting going backwards. I would say I've had my nose to the ground with work locally, but I know the last couple of days at the legislature has been furiously active. So what I'm my strategy is we are members of the League of Minnesota Cities who have full-time people that are at, reviewing that. And then they push out communications. So I would say we're going to be getting a lot of communication in the next couple of days, and I'm going to be doing some local work for the city of Northfield while I wait for some of that information to come in. But yes, local government aid is one that we pay very close attention to, and that one stayed flat.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot there.
No, that's fine. I was tracking that one yesterday. I would say I don't dig through all of it, but that's one that I do kind of pull out
specifically. Yeah, I would think that would be high on your priority list. So,
that's right. We are. We do benefit from local government aid, and that's an important revenue source from the state for us. And we would love to see more money. I understand that the state got themselves in a bit of financial challenge this year, so they had to make some difficult decisions. And I do, you know, appreciate our legislators and so Senator Leeske and Representative Purcell. You know, thanks for their service, and I'm sure that was a tough session for both of them to work through.
Indeed. All right. What else should we be talking about from last night?
So I didn't really focus a lot on our kind of immediate 2026 improvement plans, because we've been talking about those, because we've been doing some of the planning of that. Right. So we do have our second informational meeting on the 2026 Mill and Overlay and Milltown State Trail improvements this evening at City Hall, 5:30 to 7 p.m., second floor training room. So we'll have a little presentation on at the beginning of the meeting, and then time remaining will be available for just kind of an open house format. So we're refining some of the plans for that project, and again, Jefferson Parkway. We'll have new Milltown State Trail going through there. We have a lot of like safe crossing improvements that we heard from the community. I think there's about eight or so identified crossings along that area up to Prairie Street that we know there's interest in some safer crossing improvements. Mm-hmm. Prairie Street itself, there's been some discussion around the bike lane in that area to put in a protected bike lane. So the council in the future will be making some decisions on that. But that's a planned construction project. This is going to be a key milestone. Some of the next steps after that would be coming back to the city council for reviewing the final feasibility report. It would be kind of the next phase in that project after the neighborhood meeting, which would happen in late summer, like August or so. We'd be coming back to the council for that. So okay. If you want to show up at the neighborhood meeting, information on that project.
I kind of do, actually. It's sort of my neighborhood there. So, all right. Thanks, Ben.
All right.
It's always good to see you, sir.
Thanks, Ryan. Thanks, Rich.
We always appreciate your time.